Welcome, beloved. This is titled Let's Act. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, Yeshua, send your Holy Spirit. Lead, guide, and instruct us, and break open the scroll, the roll, to our understanding and through the mouth of the one teaching in Yeshua's name. All right, let's look at Acts 1:6. The context of this is these are the scripture readings over Pentecost or Shavuot, first fruits. Shavuot is first fruits. The first fruits of the resurrection is Jesus. And Shavuot is the giving of the Torah, the commandments of God. And it's also the giving of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost to the church, what we call the church age. Now, in Acts 1:6, Jesus is talking to his disciples right before he's to ascend into heaven on the Mount of Olives. And they're asking them questions and so on and so forth. Let's read the particular passage starting at Acts 1:6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, that is Yeshua, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? All right, the disciples were looking for the reign of the king, the coming of the kingdom. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power. Okay, so there, everybody's looking for power. That's what the Lord's addressing here. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. All right, the disciples have been under the Lord's teachings for 3.5 years. And they were his students, his disciples, but they hadn't operated in the Holy Ghost. And you shall be witnesses. Ah, we need the Holy Ghost to be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up. He ascended, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were steadfastly looking towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel. And they also said, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken up for you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, Pentecost, 50 days from Pesach, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them close-tongued, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. All right, these are describing the manifestations of the Spirit, like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house, and there were cloven tongues like fire sitting upon each of the disciples, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. God came to his temple, his body, which he is head of. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and filled us. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Verse 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. All right, so these were a supernatural gift of other languages. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, behold, are not all of these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were praising God, and everyone heard them in their own language. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" Others mocked them, saying, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, "You men of Judea, and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known to you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." Ha! Now Peter's going to witness. They're not drunk, but this is, and the only scriptures they had in the first century church were the Old Testament scriptures. "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days," so this must be the last days, "says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show you wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord comes." Now I'm going to pause right here and just make a comment. At the time of Jesus's death, there were four tetrads over the 2 years, last 2 years of his ministry. On the feast days in which there were blood moons, four tetrads, four blood moons, and also there were eclipses, which were portending great events, heavenly events, that heaven itself was shaking the earth. And these were signs, right? Sign points to something, to the events of Jesus's crucifixion and resurrection and the giving of the power of the Holy Spirit, the initiating of the last days. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord has come. Now, Yeshua, when he inaugurated his ministry, he began with the verse from Isaiah. Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he closed the scriptures in the synagogue at Nazareth, and he said, "This day this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Meaning, if this, the Spirit of God was upon him, this is the work of the Holy Spirit here, to preach good tidings, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, in these last days, when God is pouring out and showing signs and wonders, and we're transitioning from the church age to the kingdom age, to the coming of the king, because all these signs point to it. Just as he said, when the disciples were saying, "Well, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said, "It's not for you to know." But he did preach. If you look at the clues and investigate it in Matthew 24, the signs that are pointing to the year of Jubilee, which is the year of to proclaim liberty to the captives, which is a reflection of the Yovel year, the year of Jubilee. The Jubilee year is described in Leviticus 25. We'll start at verse 8. "You are to count seven Shabbats of years, seven times 7 years, that is 49 years. Then on the 10th day of the 7th month, on Yom Kippur, you are to sound a blast on the shofar. You're to sound the shofar all throughout your land. And you are to consecrate the 50th year, proclaiming freedom throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It will be a Yovel for you. You would return everyone to the land he owns, and everyone is to return to his family. That 50th year will be a jubilee for you. In that year, you are not to sow, harvest what grows by itself, or gather the grapes of untended vines. Because it is a jubilee, it will be holy for you. Whatever the fields produce will be food for all of you. In this year of jubilee, everyone is to return to the land he owns. So you are to return. It's the right of return. It's the year of redemption. Hence, when it speaks about in Joel, the year of the vent is talks about. I'm gonna declare that it's the sun in verse 20, Joel 2:20. The sun shall be turned in darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord has come. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is the year of redemption. It is the year of the sounding of the shofar, the sounding of the trumpet. It is the year and the day, as it says in Isaiah 61, of the vengeance of our God. It's the notable day of the Lord. All these concepts are tied in together for the restoration of Israel. And the restoration of Israel, Yeshua said in Matthew 24, when they say Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, when they, the religious and political leaders, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, then shall the king return, because he is a holy king. He is not a profane God. He does not dwell amongst a profane and unholy people in a profane and unholy land. And the day of the Lord will come with a vengeance in which God will deal with the wicked in order to purge and cleanse and refine the land to set up a holy kingdom and a nation, a holy nation of priests and a holy kingdom. These are all the restoration of all things spoken of in the scriptures and by the prophets, by the holy prophets. Let's again look at Acts 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh my goodness, the name of the Lord. What is the Lord's name? Verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, because he was innocent of any crime. He was pure. He was holy. 24, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held of it. For David, verse 25, speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. 26, therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. In other words, even though he was murdered innocently, he was raised from the dead. He did not stay in the grave. His flesh did not corrupt. He was raised from the dead. This Jesus whom you saw go into heaven. You have made, David says, known to me the ways of life, and you shall make me full full of joy with your countenance. Men and brothers, Peter says, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us today. In other words, he rotted in his grave. His flesh saw corruption. Therefore, being a prophet, this King David, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, his descendants, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is the heir to the kingdom. He is the Mashiach, the anointed one. He's seeing this, according to Isaiah 61, he was anointed with signs and wonders. He's seeing this before spoke of the resurrection of Christ. David saw the resurrection of Christ and that his soul was not left in hell. Jesus says, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus God raised up. Wherefore, we are all witnesses. Why do we need the power of the Holy Spirit? Stay in here, get the power of the Holy Spirit, and you witness this. This is what you witness. This Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, sits at the right hand of the Father, ascended to heaven, and he is returning to set up his kingship in Israel. Now, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit you at my right hand, and until I make your foes, your footstool. Okay, so Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God now, Yeshua is, and he's going to make all his enemies his footstool. What's a footstool? Something you rest your foot on. It's an inanimate servant subject to you. It's serving your feet. He crushed the foes and the powers of darkness and hell at the foot of the cross by his innocent blood that he shed. And by his blood we enter into the veil, into the Holy of Holies, and receive his Spirit and become the holy temple of God under the headship of Yeshua. Now, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ, the Mashiach. Verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brothers, what shall we do? And then Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children. He was talking to all the nations here, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. To the ends of the earth, and to the ends of the ages, generation to generation. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. And they gladly received his words and were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. They continued faithfully in the teachings of the apostles, in fellowship, in breaking bread, and in prayers. This is really an exhortation for us to continue faithfully, to continue, not to be turned aside, not to go to the right or the left. Listen to the sound teaching and doctrine out of the scripture. Stay in fellowship, break bread, and in prayers. Continue to pray. Everyone was filled with awe, and many miracles and signs took place through the apostles. All those trusting in Yeshua stayed together and had everything in common. In fact, they sold their property and possessions and distributed the proceeds to all who were in need. And hence, they bore one another's burdens in love. They weren't selfish. And down the road, this is in Jerusalem now, and their property is going to be seized and destroyed. When the persecution broke out, they were going to be driven from their homes and their properties seized and destroyed, and some were going to be imprisoned and beheaded, lose their lives. And then Titus would come and just, you know, raise Jerusalem to the very ground and burn it, including the temple. So it's better to invest eternally than to invest temporally. You'll be bankrupt, not only spiritually, but eternally, when you put all your toys, you know, there's this bumper sticker that says, "He who has the most toys wins." And I'm thinking, no, he who has the most toys when they die sins, and they're bankrupt. And they don't know if they're going to enter in to eternal life. Even if they say they're a Christian, just because you say you're Christian doesn't make you a Christian. You must examine the fruit of someone's life. Continuing, verse 46, faithfully and with singleness of purpose to meet in the temple courts daily and breaking bread in their several homes, they shared their food in joy and simplicity of heart, devoted to Jesus. That's my adding. Praising God and having the respect of all people. Why? Because they were righteous people. They weren't stealing and lying and cheating and murdering. And at day after day, the Lord kept adding to them those that were being saved. Now I'm going to go on to chapter 3 in Acts, where Peter demonstrates not only apostolic doctrine, but witnessing. One afternoon at 3 o'clock, the hour of Minka prayers, as Peter and John were going up to the temple, a man crippled since birth was being carried in. Every day, people used to put him at the beautiful gate of the temple so that he could beg from those going into the temple court. When he saw Kepha and Yohanan, that is Peter and John, about to enter, he asked them for some money. But they stared at him, and Peter said, "Look at us." And the crippled man fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "I don't have silver and I don't have gold, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Messiah Yeshua of Nazareth. Walk." And taking hold of him by his right hand, Peter pulled him up, and instantly his feet and ankles became strong, so that he sprang up, stood a moment, and began walking. Then he entered the temple court with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Everyone who saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who had formerly sat begging at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were utterly amazed and confounded at what happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people came running in astonishment towards them in Solomon's colonnade. Seeing this, Peter addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you stare at us as if we had made this man walk through some power or godliness of our own? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, the God of our fathers." So this is the God of Abraham, and they are children, these men of Abraham, "has glorified his servant Yeshua, the same Yeshua you handed over and disowned before Pilate. Even after he decided to release him, you denied the holy and innocent one and instead asked for the reprieve of a murderer. You killed the author of life." But so here he is, Peter's testifying now. "This is the God of our fathers. We're all Jews. And you handed him over and disowned him before Pilate. And you denied him. He was holy and innocent. Instead of asking for the reprieve of a murder, that was Barabbas. You killed the author of life." Here the statement is that Yeshua was the creator of life. He is one with the Father. "But God has raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses." Here's their witness. The resurrection of the dead in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. "And it is through putting trust in his name, all who call upon his name in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be saved, shall be delivered. in his name has given strength to this man who you see and know. Yes, it is the trust that comes through Yeshua, which has given him this perfect healing and the presence of you all. This is Isaiah 61, healing, restoration. Now, brothers, I know that you did not understand the significance of what you were doing. Neither did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had announced in advance when he spoke through all the prophets, namely that his Messiah was to die. This is the suffering servant Messiah in Isaiah 53. Therefore, repent and turn to God so that your sins may be erased, so that the time of refreshing may come from the Lord's presence, and he may send the Messiah appointed in advance for you. That is Yeshua, Jesus. He has to remain in heaven until the time comes, right? Right? The time comes for restoring everything. Okay, so Yeshua is going to stay in heaven until the time comes for restoring everything, as God had said long ago when he spoke through the holy prophets. For Moshe himself said, Adonai will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. So here Peter is testifying that Moses spoke of Jesus, just like Jesus said to the religious leaders in the temple. If you believed Moses, you would believe me. You are to listen to everything he tells you. Everyone who fails to listen to that prophet will be removed from the people and destroyed. That is the whole house of Israel. That all Israel be saved, but those who refuse the Messiah, I'm sorry. Indeed, all the prophets announced these days, starting with Shemuel and continuing through all who followed. You are the sons of the prophets, and you were included in the covenant which God made with our fathers when he said to Abraham, by your seed will all the families of the earth be blessed. So it is to you first that God has sent his servant, whom he has raised up, so that he might bless you by turning each one of you from your evil ways. And here he is preaching and saying that the testimony of Jesus, Yeshua, and Peter is also saying, and has demonstrated the power of Jesus through the healing of this man crippled at the gate. Backed up, the word of God backed up with demonstrations of power, Holy Spirit power. Now, if you, my love, happen to hear this and think, wow, I want to be, have eternal life. I don't want to stay dead and go to hell where there's the second death. And I want Yeshua, I believe what the Holy Scriptures say, that he came from God, he was the author of life, he died for my sins, and that I need to repent and acknowledge my sins and turn away from them and receive him and be baptized and ask for, and I pray for that for you, the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses to him and to everyone, to whomever God, the creator of our Savior, Yeshua, and who is the creator of all things, the author of life, will call. So come today, now. Time is growing short, and the restoration is going to happen soon, and the King is going to return just as he left from heaven. Blessings.